Welcome back as we say hello to Nestor J. Aparicio, doing great things here, celebrating 25 years on the airwaves at WNST 1570 AM, Baltimore Positive. Nestor, always a pleasure having you on.
You know, one of the things about being a C-list celebrity in this town for 32 years or 25 years of having the station, and you know, I go back to all of these clips and, you know, all this stuff, and I'm having this big thing at Costas. You know, Thursday, and then Friday, we're going to be at Drug City all day Friday, stop by. And I'm thinking to myself, and my wife caught on to this early on, and I shouldn't, like, make fun of it because both my parents were alcoholics. But if I drank every beer that somebody gave me to celebrate over all these years, how many times I've been out where somebody said, let me buy you a beer. I want to buy you a beer. Can I buy you a beer? And how many times, and it hurts people's feelings, I'm like, no, I'm driving. Don't buy. I can't. The biggest perpetrator of this is Mr. Costas himself at Costas Inn, who always want, because he loves me, I listen to you every day. I said, listen, here, a beer for you. He just puts it in front of me. I'm like,
I know.
I can't do that. You know, so I just think about, like, I'm going to make it through this. People are going to want to buy me beer, and I'm appreciative. I just can't buy every beer that people want. So I'll just have one social, like Batman, just one social.
You can have what I drink are non-alcoholic beers, which are fine. To me, a beer is a beer. My taste buds aren't that selective where
I'm
can
refined.
Tell differences. You're refined, not
I'm
me.
Refined.
I'm refined when it comes to food, but when it comes to beverages, nah, I mean, I've had some Sam Adams, some Corona, non-alcoholic, and they're fine. I just have one with my meal just to wash it down. They're fine.
Yeah, I mean, I pick my spots. I mean, beer goes with burgers and pizza and crabs.
That's great.
You know, I mean, nice wine goes with a steak, or a nice
sure.
white wine with the right piece of chicken or whatnot. So, like, I'm, you know, I fish, same thing. So, I mean, I pick my spots. I don't
I hear you.
But it is celebratory, and
it is.
And I'm
and we
feeling
have,
it.
And we have lots to celebrate, right? You have,
gosh, yes,
25
we do.
Years, WNST, the little station that could. You have the Orioles winning,
finally.
Big.
Thank God.
Bats are alive. Ravens training camp, but no one has any significant injuries. They've buried the J.K. Dobbins Holden. Not even talking about it to the point where the players are talking about it more than the team is, right? So all is well at this point.
Well, what are you worried about with the Ravens? I talk about this with Luke all the time. Like, it's early on for them. I mean, obviously, we're all in a tizzy about Jack Flaherty and Oriole pitching and, like, all that.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Ravens, and I said this to Luke, it's the strangest year, and he's out there every day sweating it out, and Zay Flowers to the left, and Odell Beckham to the right, like, all that. But, like, the baseball team has taken front and center. You know what I mean? They
Rightfully
just have.
So. Rightfully so. They're front and center. And for me as a fan, I'm excited about this team where – the other night when they scored several runs on the Yankees, and then the Yankees started chipping away at the lead. I mean, when has a seven-run lead never – a touchdown lead never felt safe because of the troubles they've had with their starting pitching, right? Then Dean Kramer got himself in some jams, got himself out of some jams. But to me, that's part of the intrigue because every team has flaws, right? There's no perfect – there aren't any perfect baseball teams out there, right? Some have – they have issues at different places. We have issues with starting pitching, right? So it's a flaw, but show me a team that isn't flawed. And show me a team that's tracking 100 wins like the Orioles are that isn't flawed.
Well, and then you have to consider, okay, your 100-win team, you're going to make the playoffs. They're going to have to battle to the finish line if they want to get the bye, right? Stay out of the first round.
Sure.
And then you say, all right, who are our pitchers going to be and who are their pitchers going to be? And I'll tell you what, you know, Astros step up with Verlander, not just – that he wanted to be there, and Rodriguez didn't want to be in L.A., all the stuff that went down on Tuesday. The one thing I will say in their defense, in defense of John and in defense of Mike Elias, is they made the team better.
They did.
I mean, they improved the team. Now, whether they've improved it enough to feel really comfortable about their pitching in October, there's a lot that could happen between now and October that can make their pitching feel a lot more comfortable or a lot more uncomfortable. Based on innings, based on where Bradish is looking like a dog all of a sudden. I don't know that he's going to look like that at inning 220. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, I don't know how many innings these – they treat these guys like they're ceramic bobbleheads from the 60s, right? Like, it feels like, I mean, Palmer going out there throwing 350 innings, like, nobody's ever going to do that again.
Palmer is wildly entertaining to listen to. You could just tell –
these kids are soft.
Yeah, there's some sarcasm, bitterness, whatever you're going to call it, but he is wild. I'd like to listen to Palmer completely unfiltered, right? It would be wildly
Oh
entertaining.
God,
It's
especially
entertaining
if he
as
can
it is.
curse too. I'd pay big money for a
Oh my
Lewis
God, can you
Black version
imagine?
of Jim Palmer.
Here's a guy that was a dog's his dog, and like you said, we got these guys in bubble wrap. God forbid they go past 7 innings.
When Palmer says something like, "Yeah, he's only getting $750,000 a start," just throws that in, just zing, zing, zing. Especially when he's cranky and the team's playing bad and he had a bad
Yes.
flight and whatever.
Yeah.
But McDonald's on every day, right? Like every
Like
night,
I like
Ben's
McDonald's.
got some coon dog expression from Louisiana
Oh,
and
he is
from
so
out of the
funny.
swamps, and that's what we call that kudzu. And
He
the only
is
reason I knew what kudzu
funny.
was is because Jimmy Buffett had a song about it. But like, it's a Southern thing.
He
And
is
so Ben's
funny.
been good. It's been, and listen, I don't go to the game sort of famously. I got offered a free ticket on the 100-degree Yankee night Friday, and I had a plan. I got offered a free ticket on the 100-degree Saturday night, and I had two plans and no electricity. I'll get down there, but it's like I said to Luke, the games on TV are fine. They're
They are.
good. I mean, when Melanie Newman's calling a game or Brett Hollander, it's very, very B team to me. No offense. I mean, I know Brett. I've never met Melanie Newman. I like Brett fine, but like, it's not what Kevin Brown or even Jeff Arnold are at this point. But Ben and Jim Palmer, doesn't matter who they're with. I mean, Palmer was kind of annoyed by Melanie Newman all weekend a couple of weeks ago that I thought it was just interesting to listen to him sitting there and talk to Melanie Newman. Because he.
How about the ESPN crew asking Felix Batista, has he seen The Wire? I mean, come on now. You talk about some Bush League reporting. Why would they even go there with the guy? Guy doesn't
I don't
speak
know.
English. I mean, come on now. I mean, yeah, that's not
They're
the content.
trying to make the broadcast entertaining in a
Oh, come
way
on.
for people that aren't watching the game. If you're
Garbage.
watching the game and the broadcasters are good and entertaining and they're on the game and on the history of the
Yeah.
game and on the strategy of the game and always explaining why. That's going to be the question for every kid, every grandmother.
Sure.
Why, Ben McD? Why did this happen? If they're explaining that, I don't need the ketchup races. I don't need the shell game. I don't
Well,
need John
ketchup
Denver.
races were the most entertaining thing at the Camden Yards the last several years. I mean, you
I don't hear
know.
about nobody's wearing relish outfits anymore. They're wearing
I'm
Adley
a
Rutschman jerseys,
ketchup guy myself, but my point is the games now are more entertaining. It used to be the races were more entertaining than the games, at least for the Baltimore fans, right? Not so much for the
As long as mustard didn't win,
opposite
mustard's
fans.
yucky. I don't eat mustard on things,
Yeah, but you know what I liked about the trade deadline is they got the team better and they protected their top 10 prospects. They didn't give away the farm. I know that Jackson Holliday,
But they
everybody
didn't win the
wanted.
World Series
No,
either, right?
but
And you never win the
maybe said
World
the
Series
farmer.
July 31st.
Maybe said
But
the farmer. This isn't October.
listen, I'm not here saying they should have given Holiday up for Cease. I'm not. I'm just saying who's going to be their ace next year and the year after?
Well,
They're going to need pitching more than they need a Hall of Fame shortstop next year.
You know what? I'm old school defense, and pitching wins championships, and I wish they would have invested more in pitching. I know that they like their hitters, but man, where are the arms coming from
Well,
now?
this is where you trade Colton Cowser for a guy who's going to start 35 games for you next year. That's where I'm not.
Okay.
There's the last I checked, Dennis, check the math on this, okay? There's still three spots in the outfield, right? There's still four spots in the infield. We know who the catcher is. He'll be the catcher for all time, right?
Until he plays first base, so we get
Oh,
another 4 or 5
right. I
years
mean,
out of him.
we know Mateo, Urias, all these guys, Mountcastle,
Yeah,
they're all rental
Mountcastle,
properties now, right? I mean, we know what the
Hicks.
future is going to be. But if you take one Colton Cowser or one Jordan Westbrook, or dare I say one Holiday, and I'm not saying him. I'm saying you have untouchables, and that's fine. And if he's untouchable, he's untouchable. But at some point, there's only one shortstop and one third base, and there's only three spots in the outfield. So at
Understood.
some point, one of these guys, yeah, we love them a long time. I love them all. They're all number one draft picks. They're all great. At some point, they're all going to be worth $15, $20 million a year, and you're going to have to pay them, or somebody else is going to have to pay them. They had that problem in Kansas City when it all added up, right? When they've had that problem in Tampa for 20 years when it all adds up. But at some point, if Cease was available, And I'm not saying you should give Holiday up. And if that's the case, fine. I won't do it. But if not him, then whom? And that's the question I've been asking. That where are you getting this ace? Where
Right.
are you? You're not. John Boy's not going to spend $130 million on a real ace, and they'll go half-ass something on the Ubaldo Jimenez way, the Cid Fernandez way. I don't know who it would be, but if they want Eduardo Rodriguez in the offseason, they're going to have to get him to want to come and then give up a lot of money. Now, the one thing moving the fence back, if they get a pitcher in the offseason.
That was a great move, by the way.
And they have a press conference, it's going to be because they moved the fence back.
Yeah, that was brilliant. No one was going to sign to pitch in this bandbox. No one worth their salt. So that was a brilliant move. But
Elias brought that up three times at that luncheon that the only time I've ever been in a room with him, only time I've ever met him, he brought it up three different times about the fence. He's bragging about it now, where a year and a half ago, people were pissed. It's ugly as hell. It's all of that.
We knocked him for it. I knocked him for it.
He should have said then, and if I'm on the radio, I was saying this, but if I was in their pocket, I would have been saying the whole time, this is going to make our pitching better. It's going to cost Mountcastle some home runs. He's going to have to figure it out. But this is going to make our ball club better because we're going to be able to recruit pitchers in a way that we could never recruit a pitcher. Find any 20 pitchers that ever pitched in the major leagues the last 25 years, starting with Messina and Ben, and work your way down all those guys and ask them if they would have preferred to pitch somewhere else. Every one of them would have said.
Of course. Well, the nice thing about this team, as constructed with the youth, the speed, the athleticism, they can beat you with the long ball, but they can also beat you playing small ball. So you got to pick your poison. So that's what I like about their offense.
Well, I again, if pitching's the story and if pitching's going to win the World Series, who are going to be the pitchers that win the World Series? And that's the question I would have. And that's not being a jerk. If Mike Elias were here, I'd say, explain this to me in regard to your value of a great position player or guys you project to be really good all-star caliber. I mean, they project Colton Cowser to be better than Austin Hayes, right? Don't they project that?
That's the projection, yes.
Right. I mean, so if all these guys project to be that, who's going to pitch? You're going to have to buy it or trade for it. And you only really get – in the offseason, you can trade, and that's fine. But on this particular day, you could have picked up a 30-start guy the next couple of years, or what's perceived to be, and at your price, team control, right? I don't think you just piss on it and say, well, it's Jackson Holiday, we don't do it. But I think you look at it and say, why don't we do it? What do we project Jackson Holiday to be? And what do we project our pitching to be in the future to win a World Series?
But I think, to a lot of your points, this becomes an attractive landing spot now for a pitcher to come to Baltimore with the extended left field line.
If Mike Elias was on my show and said to me, we're going to be able to sign a pitcher because it's going to be attractive and John's going to open the bank, because that's what it's going to take.
Good luck with that one.
John's just urinated upon the whole thing, because if at every moment of truth, every July 31st, John's going to be out on giving Verlander $30 million because he's, you know, if you're out
happening.
On that, if that's what you're out on, then you're out on winning. You might as well move the team to Nashville.
This is a team that hasn't renewed their lease. They haven't signed a 5-year lease, never mind a 1-year lease. We don't know about their future. That's not solidified. And we have ownership here that will not spend money.
We have ownership that it's impossible to have confidence in. Now, can they get they can totally win the World Series 3 months from now.
They can.
And they can do it with this payroll that's a pinky payroll, poverty friend, they can win the World Series. Now, odds against that are stacked for young players.
You'll bet
like
the field versus the team. Absolutely, you would.
But then there comes a point where if they win the World Series, he thinks he's a genius. His old man thought he was a genius in 96 when he called off the dogs on trading out. Like,
Bobby
you become a genius instantly if they win 106 games and go three rounds deep.
By the way, is Bobby Bonilla still getting paid every year? I believe
he
is.
Yes.
Yeah, he is. He is. By who?
By the Mets.
By the Mets, not the Orioles. Okay, I got that one wrong then. But segue.
No, Peter's still paying Chris Davis.
Chris Davis.
Paying Chris Davis, right.
Hey, segue over to the Ravens. You asked me what
concerned me. They'll be paying Chris Davis to like 2032 or something. It's like insane.
Ah, crazy. But what concerned me about the Ravens, Nestor, is our injuries, right? Health. Can Lamar Jackson stay upright for 17 games? Or Rashad Bateman's Liz Frank foot injury? Odell Beckham's longevity again, and his hasn't played football in 2 years. Can his team stay healthy? That's my only concern about this team.
Well, can any team stay healthy? It's just going to be a matter of who stays healthy. Yes, we won't know that on September 10th, right?
But they've been snake bit for many, many years now. Look at the Bengals without Joe Burrow. What does that do to their team?
Hey, I wanted to ask you this because, you know, some players shop at Coons Baltimore for because they have good taste and they want a good deal and they want good people to deal with. And I know some guys have, and I don't want to out J.K. Dobbins one way or another. And, you've indicated players have been through. But I heard some pop that he's disgruntled with the training staff, and he's not the only one. Obviously, there's been pop-offs out on Twitter and stuff like that. That's a bigger deal than I realize, and that's one of the reasons Chad Steele doesn't want a guy like me around there, right? Like, literally asking questions of people like that. That's one of the reasons that they would want to exterminate a journalist like me, right?
Well, rumor has it that J.K. Is considering suing the team for negligence because of the ineptitude of the training staff, and because they put him in a game, in a meaningless preseason game, where in a prior year he never played in the preseason. So his question is, if he didn't play in the preseason his rookie year, why in the hell would the coaching staff insert him in a meaningless game his sophomore season? So he thinks he has a case for negligence against the club. And the funny thing is, Nestor, is they're not he's sitting out. They're not talking about it. There's been no mention by the club about him sitting out, which is exactly what he's doing. He's holding in. He's there, but he's not there.
That's a part of the onion. This trainer that they had out there who went rogue during COVID and
Steve Saunders.
Like, and the way they have treated me, and I'll be vocal about that in the coming weeks as well. It's not the best environment, right? In this Odell Beckham glorification we're doing right now. I mean, the last time since the player who's been paid all this money, he's out on the internet telling people in Pennsylvania to perform lewd acts. I mean, like, they've got a lot to prove. I mean, everybody's in love with them. Everybody's in love with every team. And if you follow their social media, they're in love with themselves. It's just self-flagellating. I mean, it would be embarrassing if Coons Ford patted itself on the back as much and WNST as much as their social media does this time of the year. To every part of it, it's sanguine, saccharine. It's all of that. It's a rah-rah thing. But then they got to go out and play football. And to your point, I like what they've put together, but I have real questions about the wristband for Lamar. I'd like to ask as a journalist. I have real questions about the installation of the offense and what they're trying to do, where their running back's holding out. Their other first-round draft pick has pins in his foot, pulled them out. They can't get him on the field. We're not going to see the car on the road for any of these franchises in August for all the reasons you've brought up. They don't want to get anybody hurt. So we're going to see this run for the first time against a bad football team in September. I don't, you know, what the measurement's going to be with the Houston Texans, but that's not a very good team at this point. I do want to see how a new offense looks with this quarterback, with these players, that left guard position, and how they're going to distribute the football, because they're talking about throwing the football more. I find them to be a very intriguing team in this. I think there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of upside. They can win the Super Bowl, no question about it. But I have questions about health, about all these players, just about the way they conduct business at this point, the way they're doing things, the way they've treated me and lots of different things along life's highway. And, you know, I just don't feel what I've felt the last 10 years for them when they're out signing Odell Beckhams and trying to import leadership to some degree. It's weird to me.
And this running back thing, Nestor, league-wise, whether you're Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins, this isn't good for the league at all, because I can see scenarios. I can see a Gus Edwards. Say the Ravens have a 14-point lead against the Browns in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes to go, and they're going to roll Gus Edwards in there to run at the clock. I can see Gus Edwards saying, listen, send Keaton Mitchell in there. Send Justice Hill in there. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to wreck myself. What am I? If it's a tight game, whatever, I get it. I get in there, I'll fight. Well, you got a 2-touchdown lead, and you want me to be a crash dummy and run out your clock for you. I'm not doing it. And then you have buffoons like Jimmy Irsay instead of keeping his big fat mouth shut, going up against a star running back who wants a trade. This is from a four-win team, Nestor. You can't fix stupid. And a lot of these owners are very stupid, beginning with Jimmy Ursay. And thank God that awful, god-awful franchise is Indianapolis versus Baltimore.
Well, this J.K. Dobbins situation is not good for them right now, right? It's
well,
not.
They also brought in Melvin Gordon, who was very disgruntled about not being able to get a deal, and never mind his fumble problems, right? So here's a guy who's already disgruntled with the system, with the league. You bring him in, he's speaking for J.K. Dobbins.
Well, there's not one happy running back in the league right now, other than McCaffrey, right? Literally, right?
Right. And he might be the last happy running back in the NFL because there's a glut of running backs coming up in a contract next year, too. So you have supply, demand. There is no scarcity. And the owners have made it clear they're not going to renegotiate until the new CBA, which is in 2030, 7 years from now, Ness.
Well, D. Morris, he put that in play, right? They love
all
that deal.
They all signed off on it, so now you can't complain for the deal that you signed. It's what it is. It stinks. It sucks. And, you know, you see running backs now who are saying, look, I got to learn how to catch the ball. I got to build – it's a passing league. I've got to develop my skill set so I can command more money when it's my turn. But if I'm a one-trick pony, I have to play for market value conditions, which is not what they want.
Well, it's as good a time as we've had here in a long time, right? So for me to be doing this 25th anniversary and going through all the years and stuff, I got my old Spank the Yank signs, Den, I got for you here. I got the No Way Ursay, which I know you enjoy as well. I haven't found this is a very, very rare one. I have a Clobber Cleveland sign.
Nice.
Yeah, I have some pictures of me with John Ogden with these back during the playoffs in
'97.
So, I'm cleaning out my closet for all this, but I can never imagine. And I don't think it's any secret. I don't love sports in the way that I loved it 25 years ago. I built this whole business to glorify these two teams that have treated me and my family like trash. Right. But I love the passion it brings. I love seeing the stadium fill up again. I like to see young people being involved in this in the way that I was involved in this. And more than anything, this is as good a time in all of the years that I've been doing this, right? I mean, even the year that 96, 97, it was unbelievable because we had the Ravens, but they weren't very good. They couldn't win the Super Bowl. And 12, 14, 16, you know, when Angelos felt so good about himself that he denied the fan base a chance to celebrate a Super Bowl. I mean, like, just which was the most heinous thing of all things I can think that I think about when, other than Ursay moving the team, denying the city a chance to celebrate that.
Without
and thinking, well, maybe there'll be another one, or maybe there'll be two more, or maybe Angelos will get his own. And it's been nothing like that. John Harbaugh's won two playoff games in 10 years and is throwing reporters out like me and having a hand in it and then denying it. So I would say for Brandon Hyde on the front end of this and Harbaugh, who needs to win, and Lamar, who has to win right now, this is as exciting a track, these 90 days of playoff baseball every day, come what May and October, injuries, things that are going to happen, games that are going to be played, whether they're going to be a wild card. That's baseball. We got that for the next 60 plus days. And then we have 30 days of stay healthy, stay healthy, stay healthy. Todd Monken,
yep.
Todd Monken, Todd Monken. And then they're going to go out in September and start playing every week. September and October, it's going to be great. It's going to be as good as September as October as we've had around here.
Look,
I don't even know what to compare it to. 12 and 13 would be the only place. And it wasn't anything like this.
Well, recently I went to Delphi in Greece, and Delphi was a village that they built, the ancient Greeks did. And what they did is in every village, they built an amphitheater, a stadium, because they realized that it was good for the community's wellness to have entertainment, right? So to your point, having exciting baseball, having exciting football, bringing people to downtown Baltimore, a lot of things get diminished, overlooked, crime, et cetera. So sports for us are a great distraction and contribute to our wellness, which, Nestor, is why they're so important in our society. And right now, with the Orioles being hot and the Ravens beginning their season, fantastic time to be in Baltimore.
I got to ask you, and we'll do a deeper dive on this because we'll get together next week after the 25th and like all that, maybe Monday, Tuesday. And the Orioles will have another weekend with the Mets, and, you know, they're playing the Astros. They got big games coming up, big series going to the West Coast, the whole thing. The lease. I'm not of the mindset that the team's like moving tomorrow or, but I'm of the mindset that John will get a bunch of lawyers and probably like his old man do anything he wants to do. And the I don't think he's close to signing. I mean, Wes is going to go out and squirt fans this weekend. And like, I don't know, but Bill Cole popping off about it the other day, not my Bill Cole, the other Bill Cole, city councilman, who's also my Bill Cole. I'm friends with both of them, but it's not the Bill Cole you hear on the radio. Him popping off about it. And like, what's the game here? I mean, like, what if I'm sitting with John, what is he doing?
He doesn't have to do anything, Lester. Again, the longer he sits and waits, the sweeter the deal becomes perhaps for him. Status quo is good for him. The other night when he showed him and Mike Elias in the suite and they're on their phones, I would have liked to see Angelos's family in the box, right? When you see owners like Jerry Jones, he has everybody in his box. And love him or hate him, you see the Jones family. You see his son. You see grandkids. You see people in his box. I don't want to – when I look at an owner – I want to see family. I don't want to see one person on his phone.
Well, they're working hard on that Flaherty.
The trade. Okay, gotcha. Well, they can do that while still having – they can have two suites there. Or
You know what they were doing? And Luke's reporting, they were taking swings at Verlander and Eduardo Rodriguez. And right, they were taking swings at Josh Hader. And
what's the old adage, never confuse activity with productivity?
They were taking swings. I saw them on the phones.
So do hamsters on the wheel. They're swinging on the hamster wheel. But you got to move forward.
Look, I hate being a prick about it. I really do. But they've absconded my press credential. He could blame it on his old man. It's been 17 years later. You want to open the books if you're going to get flippant with the media?
Right.
How do you expect me to treat you? How would I treat anyone that lies to me?
Not going to happen.
Like, how would that work?
Read my lips. I'm not moving this team.
Right. And people expect me to parrot that for a guy that has done nothing to show integrity or intent or involvement or commitment or keeping his word or being present or like any of the above. John's going to get a letter from me next month. I'm going to be a man of letters in September, Dennis. I'm going to get this 25th under me, get a couple crap.
All right, man, you do you. You do your thing.
But what we're doing here over the next 25 weeks in regard to the 25th anniversary is we're going to do 25 WNST Stories of Glory. So it's our 25 greatest moments over 25 weeks. You're a part of a lot of them, but I really want to pay homage to everybody that's helped keep me here so that I can hold them accountable, even though they fear me, even though they won't allow me to hold them accountable. I'm going to hold them accountable. I'm still holding them accountable because you're hearing my voice and they're hearing my voice. So that part, I want to thank you and thank everyone for allowing me to still be here to do this 25 years later to hold them accountable, because we have billionaires now exterminating media, taking $600 million and not even showing up to say thank you for the check, or not taking the check at all, but showing up on Sunday night to crow around about the first place team. I mean, it's BS. It's not.
Here for the next 25. How about that?
All right, man.
Hold up my mug and 25 more. How about that?
You are going to get me a purple and an orange shirt, right?
Absolutely.
On the Ford Security Boulevard. All right.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Well, there you go. Nestor J. Aparicio. Join us at Casas Inn this Thursday from 11 to 4, right? Right, Ness? 11
Correct.
To 4.
And you're hearing this right now, come on over and have a beer.
That's right. We'll have to post this segment early.
Just
we'll
don't buy me a beer, man. The people at Costas are... my wife is taking the day off so she can drive home. Do you get over to the show by 3, 4 o'clock when John Allen gets there in Calvin Stadium? It's going to get loose.
All right.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay. Well, I'll have my peach cake by then and I'll be on my way for sure. All right, man. Keep doing great things. There he goes, Nestor J. Aparicio here at 1570 AM WNST. Keep it locked in right here. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.